Oh, and happy Wednesday, my friends. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show live this morning, one of our favorite places in the world, the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown at Kitchen Notes. Always good to come down here and see our good friend Todd Rodermill. We are going to have a lot of fun today. The boss man, Chase McCabe, is on a sabbatical in Thailand, I'm told. So we'll see Chase in a few weeks as he tries to find himself. Filling in, getting out of the studio. And it's that scene from Silence of the Lambs when Hannibal Lecter gets out and they cart him around and he's got the orange jumpsuit on. Dr. Crane is live with me at the Omni. Dr. Crane, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Joe. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
This is ecstatic. I'm ecstatic right now. I got a nice breakfast. I mean, I walked right on in. Nashville traffic wasn't bad this morning.
They cleared out for you, pal.
I guess they did. They knew Dr. Crane was out of the cage, and I was ready to go out and have a little fun. So.
You are like John Travolta and the Boy in the Bubble. You get outside the bubble, and you're just looking around like there's buildings, and that's a beautiful church over there, and that's a barbecue. I mean, it's... Welcome out, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I told you when I was driving in, I was like, where's the Nashville skyline? I remember as a kid driving up on 4th Avenue, 2nd Avenue exit, there's no skyline anymore. You got to find your certain avenues to try to find that nice, perfect shot. But
yeah, that's the price of growth that goes on. Manning the ship is none other than the Speaker of the House, Mr. Speaker Connor Newt. Mr. Speaker, how are we? Mr. Speaker.
Sorry, I pulled a Rex Road there. I muted myself. I'm good. How are you guys?
That's illegal in 3 states, I think, to mute yourself. So be careful about that. Are you ready to roll today?
I am always ready to roll, Joe.
Okay. So you got a big day for you. By the way, Mr. Speaker, you know the surprise we have for Dr. Crane at 10 o'clock this morning.
I do know the surprise.
Okay, so this will be a lot of fun. Dr. Crane has no idea what's coming at 10 o'clock today. It'll be fun. So you just... Okay. Sit there and ride with
them. I mean, I'm happy. This is going to be great. This is going to be a fun day.
You have some news on Nashville SC.
Yes, they've hired a new head coach, Brian Callahan. They call him BJ Callahan. Was a former assistant coach for the U.S. men's national team. I believe it's official this morning. Ben Wright tweeted out earlier. It was in a press release over an email as well. So, this is a good hire for Nashville. On paper, that is, it's a good hire. We'll see once everybody's back from injury. That is like Anibal Godoy, Randall Leal, Lucas McNaughton, all those guys. When you have your core guys ready to go, we'll see how they play. But recently, in their last game where they lost 2-1 to Inter Miami, they played a 4-2-3-1. That is something Brian Callahan uses as his main formation when he was coaching the U.S. men's national team. So that's something to look out for. Overall, I hope it's a good hire for the club. I mean, on paper, it seems like a good hire. So we'll have to – time will only tell.
Who's been running the ship?
Rumba Munthali. He is a player development.
Pardon me?
Rumba Munthali.
Look at you, man.
Yeah.
So Callahan, has he been around? Has he been hanging around?
Not in Nashville from my vantage point, I don't believe.
But this has been known for a while, right?
Yeah, there was The Athletic posted something. It was Tom Bogert that posted an article.
Oh, Tom, what's he up to?
Tom just doing his thing.
Yep.
But no, he tweeted out an article saying that he was the front runner for Nashville SC's head coaching job. So with that being said, it was kind of, at that point on, it was kind of set in stone, in my opinion. I was telling people on the weekend show, the Force Company show.
Love that show.
There you go, right? You can catch that from 9 to 11 on Saturday.
I love that show, too.
It's a great show.
Yeah, good speakers on there as well.
Mr. Speaker, you're on that show, too?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
All right, we're good. All right, so what did you say last weekend?
I've just said the last month and a half, like, be very mindful, Nashville SC fans, of the Copa America timeline, because once the U.S. is out, you'll see a follow suit of Nashville SC going more and more of trying to hire a guy like Brian Callahan. And sure enough, they're out on Monday, and today's Wednesday.
Boom, there it is.
There you go.
Titans head coach Brian Callahan.
Yes.
Nashville SC head coach Brian Callahan, but he's got a G in his name.
Yes, he does have a G.
It's like Calgon, take me away. So that's the national. Here's a question for you, and I don't follow national. Are they in playoff contention?
They are in a playoff spot.
Okay.
That's the interesting thing about it. Roomba's done really well of kind of just experimenting with formations and players on the field. So that's a plus one from soccer fans, is that when you have an interim head coach that's actually producing and getting you points, that's always a plus. So when you have a guy like, you know, Brian Callahan, BJ Callahan, however you want to pronounce his name. When you put him in the fold, that should only mean things go up from here.
Is the G silent in Callahan?
I believe so. I would like to say Callagon. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be.
Callagon. How you doing, Callagon?
And the other coach is Roomba?
Yes, Roomba Munthali.
There's so many great nicknames. I mean, because I've got a Roomba.
I don't have a Roomba.
Just let Roomba go, man.
Yeah. So when you press him on, does it just know where to go?
Yep. He navigates like by GPS. Best part about it is my dog doesn't move, so it like bumps into my dog, and she just sits there and stares at it. But there are some videos of cats that ride Roombas around the house, and they're fantastic.
Have you seen those little? have you seen those little like baby cages? They're not cages, but like baby fences where they put the baby inside of it, or dog fences, or whatever. And they put Roombas inside of it, and they put like knives on top, and they have balloons attached to it. And people like they battle each other. It's like
with a baby inside?
No, not with a baby inside. But I just didn't know how to describe the fences. There's like a giant like octagon fence, and they put like knives, kitchen knives, on top of these Roombas. And they bump into each other.
That's great.
And there's like balloons on top. So people are like, oh, is the red one going to win, or is this going to win? And it just keeps going around and popping and goes different directions.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like that old TV show. I think it was on TNT or something, but it was
Autobots or what are they?
BattleBots.
BattleBots. Yes. That's a lot of fun. As men, we just want things that just knock each other down.
Smash into each other.
Go. Chase McCabe on vacation. Dr. Crane filling in today with him. We're live at the Omni National Hotel. All right, our question of the day, and for you guys that always win, we love our audience because you guys are fantastic with our responses and questions. So we've got a couple today. Our first one today, because 4th of July is tomorrow. So our first question today is, who do you think is the greatest American athlete of all time? There is no wrong answer here. Who do you think is the greatest American athlete of all time? You can call us, 615-737-1025. I know we're switching over streams, but they can go on the YouTube chat, right, Dr. Crane?
Yes, sir. YouTube, Twitter, whatever else streaming platforms we're on, you can go and listen as well. So,
all right, I'm going to ask you, who do you think is the greatest American athlete of all time?
Oh, boy. I texted you last night about this. I thought initially Bo Jackson, but I recalled that the NFL career wasn't as glamorous. But he was a two-sport athlete.
He was.
The MLB and the NFL. I'm kind of going back on it, going to one sport here, Barry Bonds.
Greatest American athlete of all time.
Oh, God, the way you say it like that.
Because people are like, what? Steroids? Yeah. How dare you?
Well, I'd mentioned this on the weekend show, too. Without the steroid stats, he still leads a good portion of statistics.
Okay. So. Look, there's no – I mean, you can argue, wrong or answer. Mine is Muhammad Ali. Mm. Because he's been gone now 6-7 years. He's still talked about the cultural impact he had. We've never seen anything like him before, after, during, and I know there's some out there who don't like his stance, and I understand all that, but I'm just talking about an athlete and what he did and what he put boxing really on the maps. Muhammad Ali, to me, you can go Jesse Owens, Jim Thorpe are some great ones as well down the line, but it doesn't have to be an Olympic athlete. It can be what you think the greatest American athlete is of all time. Mr. Speaker, you got one that comes to mind?
Yes. Joey Chestnut.
He's not wrong.
The most dominant athlete of all time.
I'm actually in favor of this. I mean, obviously he's not going to be participating in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest this year, unfortunately. I think he's doing something with Kobayashi on Netflix. Is that right? A live stream? Is that right?
Is he? That's Labor Day weekend, maybe? Not this weekend.
Yeah, no, not Labor this Day? Weekend. I think so.
Yeah. So,
But that is a good one, Connor. I didn't think of Joey Chestnut.
There's no wrong answer. You can do whatever you want.
He said no wrong answers. What was I going to say? Michael Jordan? Basic answer?
Well, you're right there.
But, I mean, at what point, though, do you consider what they've done outside the arena to help them with that? Because, Jordan, you look at what he's done with the Air Jordans and everything that he's done outside the arena is – I mean, that's something amazing. And that's why, Babe Ruth still to this day. I mean, none of us saw Babe Ruth play. It's a question that's I love the responses because I've got my opinion. I want to hear what you guys think yours is as well.
I've got my Jordans on right now.
There you go.
My 85s.
Somebody's making money at the radio station.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a big shoe guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
As I wear just some regular tennis shoes today, but okay.
Yeah, that's right. So we want to hear who you think the greatest American athlete is of all time. We got John McClain's going to join us at 9:30. Special guest for Dr. Crane at 10 as well, as we were live this morning at the Omni National Hotel. Now, can you read the stream if people weigh in there?
I can.
How do people get to the stream?
Via YouTube, via Twitter, via Twitch.
Okay.
You can go all those places and go comment on the video, and we can see it from our vantage point, Joseph.
All right. Do you do Twitch?
I don't do Twitch. I'm not a gamer like ish guy. Okay. But Connor knows college football's coming out. You know
that's
college
right.
football's out. Yeah. In what, 14 days, Connor?
14. Well, less than that. 12 11? For 12? The deluxe and okay. 16 for the standard.
Okay. Oh, okay. I spent yesterday doing a little video and a thing for MTSU with MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato, who's in the game. And he said they're sending them a copy of the game, and all players get $600.
Is it 600? Yep. Okay. I thought it was 500.
$600.
They get a little extra incentive to go get the game then.
And a copy of the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's my quarterback this year. I'm taking it.
Heck yeah. It's our quarterback, baby. We're going to roll. We're going to take down some teams, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, yeah. I'm heading to Oxford this year to watch them take on Ole Miss.
We'll hook up. I mean, I'll be down there as well. It's September the 7th. We'll hang out.
Yeah, we'll link up. We'll hang out in the Grove.
We'll be buddies. Can you read? We got my screens moving around. We got people weighing in.
I have one guy's name's Kurt. Man, I'm so excited to watch this team in October. And I believe that might be the Preds or the Titans, one of the two.
It might be Nashville SC.
Or Nashville SC. That would be playoff time.
Okay, why is my screen different than yours? My screen, I've got I got a bunch coming. I got Dale Earnhardt, Sr.
I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm Bo at the
Jackson.
Very bottom. That is right.
I've got no audio coming through. Audio isn't working on the restream, so that's good. All right.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's all good.
All good in the hood. But this is radio.
It's in the day, it's radio, right? So we'll have fun. We'll get your responses. Greatest American athlete of all time. Hit us on Twitter at 1025 The Game. All that. Now, we're giving something away, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Do you want to do it now?
Sure, let's do one. Yeah, why not?
All right, take it, buddy.
All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away to Boys to Men. How about that, Joe?
When is it?
This is, let's see if my computer works. I don't have it in here. Oh, here we go. August the 2nd. My computer's refreshing as we speak.
Where are they playing?
It is Ascend Amphitheater. It's, yes, August the 2nd. A pair of tickets to go see Boys to Men.
What caller would you like, Dr. Crane?
Caller number 3.
We'll go see Boys to Men.
Yes.
All right.
I could do 2 for Boys to Men, but.
I'll do 3. 3's good. Yeah. 615-737-1025. If you get in right now, and that's how you can win tickets to see Boys to Men. All right, we're off and rolling at the Omni Nashville Hotel, downtown Nashville. This is the People Show, the Chase and Big Joe Show, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, downtown Nashville, at Kitchen Notes. On this beautiful July 3rd, 2024. Chase McCabe, the boss man, on sabbatical in Thailand. He'll be back in about a week and a half. Sitting in is Dr. Crane today. Dr. Crane, good to see you.
Good morning, sir. Hey, we are broadcasting today from the Omni Nashville Hotel, but Connor, our guy, the speaker, is broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Your responses are coming in now. The greatest American athlete of all time. This is a lot of fun. We got one for Michael Phelps from our on-site engineer, Sean. It's Michael Phelps, which is a great one. Another one for Mark Spitz, the Olympic swimmer. Eric Heiden won gold medals in speed skating in 1980 in Lake Placid. So keep them rolling in here, 615-737-1025. You got to call because we're switching over our text line provider, and that'll be up in a few days. We're excited about that. So Dr. Crane weighed in and loves old Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Barry Bonds, Bo Jackson. Hey, I'm not a cyclist, but what about Lance Armstrong?
No.
Steroids.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of – I mean, it was good for a while.
It was a personal text line. That's why I just put it out.
That's fine. No. I mean, I'd love to hear the responses on this. You know, it's funny with sports in this day because this used to be the one day – what was it? The one day of the year where it was just the All-Star game. Before the All-Star game.
The home run
baseball,
derby.
No sports were being played.
Yes, you are correct.
Not today. It's the day before the All-Star game.
Yeah.
There are no. It's one day of the year. There are no professional. Well, I consider the Big Four.
You just leave out baseball.
No, baseball's in there. There's not a game on that Monday.
Oh, I thought you were leaving out baseball in general.
Baseball. I like. Here's the deal. I like college baseball.
Right.
I'm not sitting through a 3-hour game between the Indians and the White Sox. I'm not doing it.
Hey, I will say this. When I go to a game in St. Louis, the one time I went in 2019, and I've been back since then, but there was hibachi on wheels. They had an hibachi grill just going through the concourse on wheels.
Good for them.
It was incredible.
All right.
Another reason why I want to go back to an MLB game. Hibachi on wheels.
Hibachi on wheels. You can get a hibachi at the mall. I'll take you out to Opry Mills later on.
Opry Mills. Yeah. All right.
I got an interesting one for you.
Sure, pal.
Athlete. Jim Thorpe.
I will not disagree at all. Will not disagree at all. I mean, what he did is amazing, and he qualified. You've seen that thing where he qualified? He was wearing, like, a pair of shoes that didn't fit, and they're different colors, and because somebody stole his bag or something. I don't know the exact story, but Jim Thorpe is amazing.
I'm surprised you didn't say Walter Payton.
I think it's hard to go wrong with these guys. I mean, they're all – I mean, Walter Payton, Bo Jackson and Walter Payton. I mean, it's just – greatest American. I think mine transcends time. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Like Wilma Rudolph is from Clarksville. What she did at the Rome Olympics in 1960, she was a Tiger Belt TSU. There should be a day in her honor. She was amazing. I'm not done with that. sorry, Tim. sorry, buddy.
Hey, it's top quality over here.
Right, it's good.
That's why Omni Natural has the best service.
It does. It does. Thank you, Tim. I think Thorpe is there's no wrong. That's why I want to hear there's no wrong answer.
I think you mentioned transcending. Let's go Mike Ditka. I know I'm just taking the easy way out of this, but I mean, player, coach, Super Bowl guy. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I've never thought about that, but that's one to put out there.
It goes in different generations.
It does. That's the thing is that you're over completely generation. Mr. Speaker's of one. You're of one. And I'm a completely different generation of things that go on. I mean, like, you know, Babe Ruth. I mean, Babe Ruth's impact is still going today, and he hadn't played a baseball game in 80, 90 years.
It's true. They say he hit like a home run like 640 feet because when he hit it over the fence, it landed on a train, and the train didn't stop until like another like state over.
Just stop it.
I'm just saying. that was one of the running narratives about it, one of his home runs.
Right. You know, what's funny is like, we talk about another good summer topic is records that will never be broken and all that stuff. You know, is it Cy Young that's got 511 wins or something like that? And I'm just curious how they kept stats back in the – because, you know, there was a lazy Rex Road back in the day who didn't keep stats. And it's like, hey, Cy, did you pitch yesterday? Hell yeah, I won 4 games. Okay, 4 games, Cy won yesterday.
We had a doubleheader at 9 and then 11. And you know what? We played in the afternoon. We had a doubleheader from 5 and 7.
In one of the games. So now, you know, just records that will never be broken. But again, our question of the day is greatest athlete of all time. Dick is interesting.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, you're a big Bears guy, 85 Bears.
I mean, he is, yeah. But I just think my thing is somebody outside the realm, Muhammad Ali.
I mean, I can't really think off the top of my head of, like, guys that just stand out to me. They're kind of off the beaten path. But, I mean, could you say Mike Tyson? I mean, Mike Tyson, you know, went to prison. And
ran some trouble.
Back. Yeah, but you know what? He's a bad man. He is a bad man.
Was, I mean, from mid-'80s till
– in the ring, that
is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was. That's why, you know, we talked about the greatest upset of all time. I think when he got beat in Tokyo by Buster Douglas we were shocked. Like, this guy was invincible. I mean, he's beating guys up within a minute in the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, he beat Michael Spinks in like 30 seconds. It was crazy.
I was going back and just looking at, you know, YouTube videos because I wasn't born at the time. But at 19 years old, Mike Tyson chiseled to like absolute sculpture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And the fact, like you're saying, putting people down within a minute is – I mean, you don't see it in today's day and time with, like, modern boxing or MMA.
Can you name a boxer?
Today?
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, but he's retired. I mean.
Well, that's not naming him.
Ryan Garcia?
I don't know. I just know when Tyson fought, and again, I'm an old man, but, you know, all the people with, you know, Larry Holmes and Don King with the promoter, and it was a spectacle as much as it was an event in the ring, and it was all the, gosh,
must-watch TV.
It was.
That's what it is. Instead, like we're mentioning here, like Mike Tyson, you're still talking about him today. I mean, that's the thing. He's one of the greatest athletes in boxing. I think he's the best athlete in boxing. Because people say, oh, what about Floyd? I was like, well, you know, Floyd Mayweather, yeah, sure, he had the undefeated record. But, you know, if you watch, because I watched a little bit of boxing when I was growing up for the most part. Floyd was still wrestling.
Right.
Goodness gracious. Boxing at the time. And just wasn't, you know, that go-get mentality. It was more of, you know, pick and choose his fights in a roundabout way. That's how I looked at it.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's again, it's all subjective to what you think is the greatest athlete. So, I you know. I mean, Mr. Speaker came up with Joey Chestnut.
Do you have another one?
Or Kobayashi. Well, Kobayashi's not American. Is he not? I don't know.
Kobayashi.
Is he from, where's he from? Is he American? I don't know.
He might, stuff up. Might be American.
Okay.
Just as a, man, there's some sirens going around.
I don't know, but Joey Chestnut's a funny one to talk about. Max Hurst is Hal Gill.
Yes, he is a Stanley Cup winner.
He is.
That is true.
He's also 7'8", which is even better, which makes him a just a taller American icon that goes that way.
You know, when he sat in the chair and filled in for the midday show 2 weeks ago, I was like, I wonder if there's anybody taller that sits in this chair than Chase McCabe. Hal Gill.
Hal Gill.
God, he's so tall.
Popped in, and there it was. Nice.
It's like, goodness gracious.
With all that. You ever got an autograph from anybody?
Not directly. Indirectly, yes. From Brent Snedeker. I think I mentioned this on the show once before, but my mom used to cut his mom's hair. And so he signed two visors, one for my brother, one for me. And mine had my name on it. It was, you know, to Nicholas, best wishes. The other one was to Daniel, best wishes. My brother's name's not Daniel. It's Tony.
Tony!
So, like, we still have the visor today. It's pretty funny. We just hang it up.
And these great American athletes, is one you like to have an autograph from?
Mike Tyson. I would love to have an autograph from Mike Tyson. I just want to know more about just in his brain, because he's, after his boxing career, he's just changed himself. Like, on his podcast, he's been more, you know, relaxed and stuff like that. I'm just curious to know more about Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, it's he was something. I mean,
Mike Ditka, for sure. I would love to have an autograph from him. A picture would be even better.
A picture.
I value a picture more than an autograph.
Do you really?
I do.
Why is that?
Just because visually, like they say, a picture is 1,000 words.
Yeah.
You got two words that are two parts of the name, Mike Ditka. So, like, yeah, it's cool to have that memorabilia, but a picture goes a long way for me.
I ran into Joe Theismann last week downtown.
Really?
Yeah.
And how was that?
It was great. And, you know, we were talking, and I was like, I'm sorry. I mean, he's like, you're Joe Theismann, Super Bowl winner. And I had a Sports Illustrated that they lost a Super Bowl to the Raiders the year after they won, beat the Dolphins. And the picture is he threw an interception to a Raiders linebacker named Jack Squirek, intercepted, and he's going in for a touchdown. And it's a cover of Sports Illustrated, and he's pointing to the sky, and Theismann's in the foreground. It's a great picture. And I had Howie Long autograph that, Sports Illustrated, because he's on that team.
Right.
And so I was going to tell Joe Theismann that I have an autograph, but not from him, but I didn't get into it. But with Joe Theismann, I was like, oh, man. And there were people coming up and getting his autograph, and he was still talking. It was great. And I said, because I got all nervous, I said, man, you broke your leg on Monday Night Football. That's all I could say to him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know if you've ever seen it or not.
Oh, yeah, it's gross. It's Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor. It's gross.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, Lawrence Taylor, we still talk a couple times a week.
Really?
He says, we're good friends. And I was like, man, Joe Theismann, you had your leg snapped. I mean, there he was.
That's what you said to him?
Yeah. But he's like, yeah, we talk about it. And he goes, that's my motivational speech is overcoming a serious injury like that and getting back up and trying to be better than you were before.
Wow.
He goes, and, you know, my football career was over, but I launched a broadcasting career and I lost a motivational speaking career that might not have happened had I done all that. But, I mean, Notre Dame quarterback, he changed his name from Theismann to Theismann so he could win the Heisman. I mean, so all that stuff, it was just kind of cool to see that. So I'm going to go with Joe Theismann as the greatest American athlete of all time. No, I'm kidding. I'm not.
I say, where's Terry Bradshaw on that? Where's TB12 on that list? Because he's the original TB12.
He is. I didn't get to ask him any questions, though. You were there. I asked him like two questions.
Best three questions he's ever been asked is what he said.
He spoke for an hour and a half on all that, which was crazy. all right. So who do we got coming up next, Dr. Crane?
I believe it's John McClain. John McClain with HoustonTexans.com is going to be joining us.
You got your questions ready?
I do. I'm up in here.
All right. You're going to send it out, Dr. Crane.
Send what out?
The show out to the break.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were going there. You looked at me like, oh, okay.
I want you to do it.
Okay, well, hey, everybody that's listening to the Chase Big Joe Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase, the boss, is on sabbatical in Thailand. He'll be back in about a week and a half. With that, Dr. Crane filling in, as we do every Wednesday at 9:30, the best person to talk to about the National Football League and just life in general, our good friend John McClain from HoustonTexans.com joins us now. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing quite well. I want to ask you a not an NFL question, but a football question. As on July 1st, 2 days ago, Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC. You're down in Houston. How much was this talked about this new world with Texas, Texas A&M, joining the SEC? Is it talked about a lot, or is it kind of like a blip on the radar?
No, it's talked about a lot. We have more Texas alums in Houston than they have in Austin. We have more Texas alums of Texas A&M than they have in College Station and Bryan. And, of course, it's a big deal. In typical Longhorn fashion, excuse me, they threw a monster party to end all parties on Sunday to welcome themselves into the SEC. And I saw a thing this morning in Texas, a list of the top, I think, 20 teams, might have been 40 state schools in revenue. In Texas, number one in the country, but $30 million over Georgia. And they like to throw their money around. They like to throw their weight around. And just the fact SEC Media Days is in Dallas, the Big 12's in Vegas. And but you guys will see, whether they win or lose, that the Longhorns will get involved in setting policy, changing policy. They're the 800-pound gorilla that sits anywhere it wants. And I remember when this first happened, they asked me on my shows in Nashville and Knoxville about it. And they said, oh, well, we got Alabama and Georgia. I said, I'm not talking about in football. I'm talking about policy. And you'll see, it's why Nebraska left the Big 12 when they had the mergers, why A&M left the SEC. They thought the Longhorn Network was going to give them an unfair recruiting advantage, and all it did is make people sick of watching the Rose Bowl victory over Southern California. And they had to abolish it, of course, so they could have the SEC Network. But it is a huge deal, and as somebody who grew up with the Longhorns in the Southwest Conference, watched Baylor lose to them 20 years in a row before they beat them in 1974 in a game that was called the Miracle of the Brazos. And the worst thing about the Longhorns leaving is every fan of every other school will miss the exhilaration you feel when you beat the Longhorns, especially in football. And in Baylor's case, basketball, and he can do the horns down.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for that, John. So, John, I'll ask you this as well. I remember Floyd Reese talking about this. I talked to John Robinson about this, and I remember even Rustin Webster about this time between the end of training of mini camp until the practice training camp starts, this 3 to 4 week, about – they don't sleep. And I remember asking John Robinson, like, well, why not? And he's like, because we don't have the guys with us, you know? And he's like, there's a lot of things going on. In your dealings with this throughout the years, is this a time the general managers, you think, are like, oh my God, just don't get in trouble, get to camp, and we'll go from there?
Not like it used to be, Joe, because you don't see many people getting in trouble. If you think about all the NFL players on rosters right now, and we're talking about going to training camp before they have to make their cut to the final 53 before regular season, the percentage of players who get in trouble is minuscule. If you go back in time, it would be more and more. And one of the reasons is people drank a lot more and they drove and there were more DWIs. You would see guys getting busted for drugs because at one point in the 70s and the 80s, cocaine was such a big deal, and people were more reckless than they are. They didn't have facilities to go to get three meals a day anytime they wanted it during or in the off season. And because they make so much more money today and their careers are longer because they do stay in good shape, and part of the staying in good shape is being careful away from football, they don't worry as much. Most of the time now, when a general manager and a head coach schedule a vacation, say it's for a week, they might get 1 or 2 days where they're their wives and their kids, make them stay off the computer or the cell phone, look at studying the roster and trying to get ready for training camp, because that's what they do. But it's not nearly as bad as Houston. What they worry about now is they worry about guys that don't work out and come back 10 pounds heavier and out of shape. And when you have that conditioning test, if the woe be unto the guy who has heard the coaches tell them before they left, keep working out, do not go to grandma's house and spend a weekend and gain 15 pounds. Make sure you're in shape when you come back. One time, Earl Campbell, the Oilers Hall of Fame running back, came back, and he couldn't finish the mile run when they did that right at the start of camp to see what kind of shape everybody's in. And immediately, we run up to Bob Phillips, the head coach, and said, Bob, we're out of breath. Bob, what are you going to do? Earl's not in shape. He didn't finish the mile. And Bob spits a jar of tobacco, and he says, well, when it's third in the mile, we won't give it to him.
Oh, that's great. That is good. John, you know, to that same sentiment about, you know, not being, you know, around the coaches and management, you know, a guy like Tavondre Sweat, how worrisome should Titans fans be for a guy like that with this time off away from the team?
Honestly, Nick, you got to worry because he's so heavy, and he always has been heavy. If he'd have showed up at the draft at like 340 or 330, he'd have been a first-round pick because he's a great player. But he's used to playing outside in the heat in Austin, so it's okay. I think it's going to be a great pick. But they always worried about his weight, and he used to talk to media about he liked to eat and he liked to eat barbecue and everything else you eat. Well, now that he's in the NFL, he's going to have to get on a better eating program. He can still eat like crazy. Just have to eat things that are better for him. But he's the perfect example of a guy that they're going to have to keep an eye on because they don't want him to come back after being off for a month and then having all of a sudden to get back into shape. I think he knows how much grief he's taken for his weight. You know, he was actually drafted higher than people thought after he got that DWI. You know, you do that before the draft. You got to think, you know, guy's a geranium brain to have that happen. But the Titans took a chance on him. And I tell you what, you put him, those two defensive tackles, if he plays in the way he's capable, there's not a team that'll have two better ones. I can tell you that. And besides being big, being a full load, he's not just a run stopper. He can get after the quarterback, too.
Well, to that point about, you know, Tavondre Sweat and, you know, at the point of needing to stay in shape to that degree, my thing is, you know, during minicamp, he had a little bit of a foot injury or a leg injury, whatever it was, and was not practicing. And now having this extra span of time off for, I guess, you know, purposes of not being around football, I guess that's my initial question to the worrisome part of it. Would that put, put an extra addition to all that?
I think it would. That's the first guy they're going to be looking at when he comes back because his weight has always been an issue. You always wonder when you see a guy that's 360 pounds, okay, if he's this good at 360, what could he be at 330? Mm. And how much quicker could he be? He's already quick and he's tough and he's strong. And how much better could he be? Now, maybe when he gets in the NFL over that first season, first year really, when he learns how to be a professional, that's why we see players make their biggest improvement, usually between the first and second season, because they learn what it's like to be a pro. And maybe we'll see him over a period of time lose weight and become an even better player. But, yes, you got to worry about him. Anytime you got a guy that large, you got to worry about his wheels. You know, if he's going to have a foot, an ankle, knees, hamstring, anything. But tell you what, the guy can play.
Oh, he can. You know, John, let me ask you this. In your time dealing with covering the Oilers and the Titans for a little bit, who was the most frustrating player, do you think, that that Bud Adams ever had, that general manager ever had, a player that just drove the management coaches crazy because of things maybe off the field, and maybe he didn't show up in shape and things like that?
Oh, gosh, Joe, they used to have a lot of players that would happen to. You know, it was all draft choices or guys had been cut our players. You'd make trades. I would say this was before my time, but John Matuszak, who was the first overall pick, defensive lineman, the twos, was absolutely crazy, a big partier back when you could do steroids and people were doing drugs. And he came in, and they were the worst team in the league, and he was a character. And he was a surprise first overall pick. And he didn't live up to his potential because he wasn't serious about football. So they traded him. The Chiefs thought that they could do something with him. And they traded the twos to the Chiefs for a first-round pick that became Robert Brazil, Dr. Doom, Hall of Fame linebacker, and Curly Culp, a nose tackle,
wow,
who is a Hall of Fame defensive lineman. There can't be many trades in NFL history more lopsided than that one, to get the fifth overall pick, use it on Brazil, and bring in Curly Culp, who may be the best true nose tackle in history.
Amazing. All right, we'll continue our discussion with John McClain. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain on NFL. We're live this morning down at the Omni Nashville Hotel. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier here. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds. Pre-game at 5:45, first pitch at 6, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Right here on 102.5 The Game, Chase and Big Joe, Nick Frazier, and Big Joe along with it. We're joined by John McClain on the other line here. John, back to a little bit of some, I guess, our question of the day with Chase and Big Joe is the greatest American sports athlete of all time. Does anybody come to mind for you?
The greatest American athlete or the greatest football player?
Greatest American athlete.
No, I would say Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis and Simone Biles is another one, but Carl Lewis and boy, there have been some great ones, but when you excel at different things besides one event, and you're the greatest in the world, you know, gosh, we've had so many of them, but I don't think you could pick a player from NFL or hockey or baseball or football. To me, it would be more like an Olympian. People may say Bruce Jenner, Nick Caitlin Jenner, because of what Bruce Jenner was able to do. But if I had to pick one, I'd say Carl Lewis.
Okay. I said Mike Tyson, just in the boxing ring. It just was transcending. Joe kind of put in the factor of like an athlete that transcends through different eras. And so I picked Mike Tyson. Joe picked, I believe, who was it, Joe, that you picked for greatest athlete?
Ali.
Muhammad Ali. So that was another one Joe picked.
They were great, and they were boxers. But to me, if you are somebody like, say, Carl Lewis, he could do sprints, he could do the 100, 200, he could do anything, but boy, the greatest boxer and the greatest sports personality in history was Muhammad Ali, because he did transcend the boxing arena, and of course was an Olympic gold medalist as well. There's never been anybody like Ali, and there never will be.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he's just transcends so many things that you just never know about. You know what's funny about that, John, is that we've had some people weigh in about Bo Jackson. And you saw him, John. Had he not gotten hurt, I know he played the hypothetical game all the time, how great would he have been had he not gotten hurt in that game versus the Bengals?
If he hadn't suffered that hip injury, or if he had concentrated on one sport, say he had stuck with football, or say he'd got stuck with baseball, his career would have been longer in baseball. I don't know that he would have been. He did some fantastic feats in baseball, but I don't think he's as good in baseball as he was in football. There's never been a combination of power and speed like Bo Jackson, 230 pounds, and he could outrun everybody. That's a great example. I hadn't thought about Bo Jackson, but man, oh man. You know, another great athlete was Dion. Dion played baseball and football too, but boy, there was nobody that just blew you away and captivated you every time he touched the ball than Bo Jackson.
Oh, absolutely. With camp starting in a few weeks now, of course, the Chiefs are going to be the favorite. And, you know, I saw some rumblings about Travis Kelce being overseas with his girlfriend and doing all that. And, you know, how much do you think it'll be heading, because they're trying to get a three-peat to win the Super Bowl. The Kelce thing now with the team, I mean, is that pushed aside, do you think? And with all that goes on off the field with his what he's doing, and can concentrate on winning the Super Bowl for the third time with this Chiefs team, because there's a lot of outside things pulling on this team now.
There are, but there's outside things pulling on a lot of teams, but it's not involving Taylor Swift. And he was able to win a Super Bowl at the height of their relationship. And I think now, because the newness will wear off, it will not be so euphoric for so many fans. You know, the NFL's got to hope she doesn't ditch him or he doesn't ditch her. And she's gone through a lot of boyfriends, because the league can capitalize on that popularity again. And I think he knows he's under the limelight. Kelce's a smart guy. He knows he's under the limelight. So wherever he is, he's guaranteed he's working out that weight room like crazy, because he knows he's got to be in the best shape. He can't come back, start dropping passes, running out of gas. Plus, he's getting older. Most smart players who play into their 30s know they've got to work even harder. I remember Bruce Matthews when he played with the Oilers and the Titans. You know, when he came in, he was like 6'5 and a half. Bruce weighed about 280. And then his weight got up to like 305, 310 as he lifted more weights and everything. But as he got older, he tried to lose a couple pounds every year because he said he could feel it. And that's what the smart guys do. They don't necessarily lose weight, but they know when they're older, they have to concentrate and work out even harder. And I guarantee you Kelce's doing that.
Well, on that same note, if they were to break up during the season, I mean, that's got to put a wrench into things. I mean, because that wide receiver core is basically Travis Kelce, and that's about it.
And they can't afford for him to get hurt either. You know, he's been remarkably durable. And they're hoping that Xavier Worthy comes in there and does what Tyreek Hill did. I've watched Worthy at Texas, and he has great speed. And he was a really good receiver. Have no idea how he'll be in the NFL because he's so not small, he's just thin. But they want to utilize that speed. And if they can send him down the field and utilize the speed, that's going to open up the middle for Travis Kelce even more. I know this. He's the guy you double team. They don't have anybody else that you automatically got to go out there and double team right now, because he is Patrick Mahomes' favorite receiver. And it won't surprise me, Nick, if what they, you know, they were 11-6 last year. They weren't a dominant team. Then they dominated the playoffs like they were bored. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they don't do that again. Win the AFC West, they'll be really good. But then, you know, barring injuries and Mahomes staying healthy, especially if they've got home field advantage, it's hard for teams to win at Arrowhead Stadium at this time.
John, who do you think is – I know we had the monster contract with Trevor Lawrence last week. Who do you think's next in line? I mean, I know there's a few players out there who could get that massive contract, but, I mean, is Dak next? Who's next to really make it people go, oh, my gosh, they're paying him what? Who do you think's next?
Well, I think we better get ready for Dak Prescott to be the first $60 million a year quarterback, because they have to re-sign him. Jerry Jones is not going to start over at his age. And Dak was great in regular season, not so much in the playoffs. And they can't have these contracts hanging over their head. It's a distraction when the players are asked every day. Players don't like it, but they're going to be asked every day, and they get a lot of media coverage locally and nationally about the three guys. I don't think Micah Parsons will get his to next year. But Lamb's not going to come in, and the money that he misses, I think, will be about $4 million. Then they'll just tack it onto the guaranteed money when they eventually get the deal done, like they did with Nick Bosa last year, so he won't have to suffer. We'll see stories galore. Oh, my God, how is CeeDee Lamb going to pay back all this money? How can you take that kind of hit? Well, he's going to get paid.
John, to the point of quarterbacks, you know, Will Levis here in Nashville taking, you know, his wide receiver core, I think it was to Cabo, right, Joe, somewhere to vacation. How much of that chemistry aspect, because you've covered the league long enough, does that really play a big factor into things going into the season?
I think bonding is very, very important, Nick. Used to, when teams would go away to training camp, that was when they had camaraderie. They would hang out together, especially after the meetings, and they would get beer, and or they'd go places, and they would just hang out and get to know each other. And sometimes they'd get in fights, but it's like fighting in your family. And I think that's very wise for Will to do, because right now, if you think about the AFC South, so much hinges on him and Anthony Richardson. Because how good can their teams be? It depends on the quarterbacks, because both need to take a jump in their second seasons because they have talent around them, especially the Titans. Brad Garthon took advantage of having a high draft choice, and he took advantage of having money in a salary cap to beef up that offense. And I know the fans can't wait to see what their second-year quarterback can do.
John, one before we let you go, one of my all-time favorite players is Dave Casper. You covered him. He's with the Oilers for 3 or 4 years. He had a great quote one time about training camp, because remember, it was, what, 6-7 weeks back when he played. And he said, the only thing I do in training camp is I make myself numb for 6 weeks just to get through it. And I always took that kind of mindset, because camp is so intense, so hard. But it's not like that anymore, is it? I mean, because you had the 2 days, 3 days, and 6 weeks, and all the games that went on. Training camp now compared to that is like night and day.
I call it playing patty cake. No, you don't. nobody hits anybody on purpose. You don't want them to go to the ground, but they do. And practices are shorter. Used to, when the teams would show up, when they played six preseason games, camp would be 8 weeks. And everybody hated the six preseason games. They would build up till the last game. They'd play three quarters. They wouldn't sit everybody. And players had to get ready, because they didn't start working out till like June. Most of them had to have other jobs.
Right.
And the coaches would put them 2-3 hour practices a day, full contact, full pads from the first day. And those players were miserable. I remember a player used to beat on his knee with a Bible at night to tell him, I can't practice, my knee's swollen. And then when they got to later in camp, when it eased up, he quit beating on his knee like that. I got a million training camp stories about the way it was back then. Today it's boring as hell compared to the way it used to be. And players just hated it.
Oh, man, that's great. John, you are the best. Happy 4th. We love having you on our show and our station, my man, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, by the way, Joe, I will be off next week, so it'll be in 2 weeks. I will not be in Thailand, though.
All right, John, thanks, man. Have a good
day.
Thank
you, guys.
All right, John. The great John McClain. I mean, when I say I could talk to him for hours, literally could talk to him for hours about the history of the National Football League.
I will say, I love talking baseball, and especially with John off the air when we get into this break. It's baseball galore with me and him. It's awesome.
I love it. All right, Dr. Crane, we have a surprise for you coming up here in about 3 minutes.
Balloons?
No balloons. Wait. On the air radio surprise for Dr. Crane, who's out of the studio today with me at the Omni National Hotel because Chase McCabe is on sabbatical in Thailand. We'll come back with a surprise for Dr. Crane. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.